Good afternoon and welcome back to Intrepid Radio. I am your host, Todd Schneck. I'm joined today by a lady who I have admired for a long, long time. And even though I've done this show, gosh, about 2.5 years now, for whatever reason, I've just not had the an obvious opportunity to reach out and invite her to join me. But she's got a new book out, and I was just so thrilled when she accepted the invitation to join me. I've been a big fan and glad that she and I are now finally connected. Say hello to my guest. Her name is Pamela Slim. She's a speaker, business coach, and best-selling author. Welcome to the show, Pam.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so delighted that we finally were able to connect.
Yes. And again, thank you for carving out a few minutes to join me, Pam. My audience probably knows you as the author of Escape from Cubicle Nation. We're here to talk about your new book, Body of Work. But before we dive into that, take a quick sec. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Yeah, I am, as you said, I'm a speaker and business coach, but I've probably worked in just about every work mode you can imagine. Some of that exploration led to me wanting to write my book, but I've worked in the nonprofit sector. I was the executive volunteer director of a nonprofit organization in San Francisco. I worked in the corporate world. I had my own cubicle, which I actually quite liked, at Barclays Global Investors, where I was the director of training. And then I spent about 10 years as a consultant to corporations, working inside all kinds of companies, starting in Silicon Valley and working a lot in high tech, and then moving all throughout the country, working and doing executive coaching and change management. That whole process led me to find a subgroup of people who were interested in leaving corporate life to start a business, but didn't quite know how. And that led me to found my blog, Escape from Cubicle Nation, 8 years ago, where I've worked with many hundreds of people to launch businesses. And it's led me up to right now of writing a brand new book.
And that new book is called Body of Work, Finding the Thread That Ties Your Story Together. Pam, give us the 10,000-foot view. What's the book about? What's the central premise? And who's it for?
Yeah, I wrote this book really as a reflection on our world post-economic meltdown in 2008. And one of the things I found, having worked in many different sectors of our economy and different work modes, is that it felt like we were very fragmented. There was a light and dark side of the force perspective that people had, where they'd say, working for yourself is great and you're only free if you do it on your own. And then working for the man is terrible. And I've never believed that. I think all work is honorable. But it feels like all of our traditional frameworks for looking at how we can be successful in our careers, we're missing a component about what our new economy is really about. And what I see is that more and more people, either by choice or by force, are going to be doing a whole variety of different things throughout the course of their career. So they may even want to stay within a corporate job, but may find that they're in an industry that's really going through changes and is downsizing and laying off, and they need to look at other options of freelancing or starting a side business or working in another sector. And that people who are entrepreneurs also find that just working for yourself is often not enough to make you feel like you have meaning and purpose in your life. So the premise of the book, which I really wrote for people across the spectrum, really people who are interested in being engaged and enjoying their life and feeling like they're doing work that has meaning, is that the premise of the book is that the purpose of our life is really to create a body of work that we're very proud of. And by body of work, I mean creating tangible things like books or software code or building organizations, but also intangible things like being very proud of and conscious of the kind of relationships that you build, the quality of your family life if you have a family, how you're actually showing up and interacting with the world. And probably the simplest way of thinking about it is when you're on the last day of your life, hopefully many years from now, looking back, will you like what you see? Are you going to feel proud for what you've actually left behind as your legacy, which to me is really your body of work?
You know, I worry that a lot of people still define themselves by their career, by their job. And I think an obvious theme here is that we are most definitely moving away from what was always, we always felt comfortable with, that we were, that I at least have a stable career. The old corporate track where you'd get out of college and get into an organization and then retire there 30, 40 years later. that's gone. That era is gone. And, you know, I joke with my father. My father was a very successful executive and ran that very traditional corporate track. And he has been frustrated his entire life watching me and my career because he's never been able to give me any insight because he just doesn't understand the world that I live in and how I've built my career. I still worry, though, Pam, that there's a lot of people that are still thinking, okay, the stableness of the career world is going to come back, and I can if I can just hang on for dear life for just a little bit longer, normalcy will return. Well, I don't think it's going to. Do you agree? I mean, part of the reason I think you wrote this book is to prepare people to say, there is going to be no more stable career track. You're going to have to make this thing happen on your own.
I really agree with that. And I wish it were different, right? If I were a betting person, which I'm not really, but if I were, I would bet on the best career strategy being to always be prepared for instability, for economic instability, for political instability. If you look at what's happening geopolitically across the world, if you look at what's happening in our economy within the U.S., within our own political structure, there's just always there's not really agreement. There's not a unified agenda. And I don't really see that changing. So the good news is, if I'm wrong, that would be great. I would actually love to be wrong on this count. I'd love where we have much more stable and strong economic stability and all organizations shore up. And people who choose to want to have a singular career path can do that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with wanting that. And in fact, there's always going to be a sector of people who are able to do it. It doesn't mean that every organization in the world is totally falling apart. I mean, that's not the truth. But what I do believe is it is very dangerous to be banking on a career strategy that's based on the way the world used to be. And it's interesting, looking at our dads is a little bit of a compare and contrast. My dad was in essentially the same company for most of his career at Pacific Gas and Electric in San Francisco. He's a photographer and a journalist, and so he worked in corporate communications and the news department and so forth. And he saw a lot of instability and change within the organization. He survived multiple rounds of layoffs. One that I detail is where he was the only one in his entire department that was left standing. And that's when I was also working in San Francisco. And he called me over to his office, and it was so weird. It's like a bomb went off. All the other cubicles were empty. But he really has enjoyed having the stability of one organization. But he always operated in such a way to know that he needed to be really smart about how he worked. He was flexible to work with different departments. He was always very focused on the output of his work. And interestingly, he's 79 years old today, and he is still freelancing. He's still doing work for PG&E. It's really funny that you would think that they might want to hire somebody who's a little bit younger and so forth, but he has this tremendous institutional knowledge based on so many decades of working for the organization that people to this day still really value. So it's I think it's important that we don't discount some of the really good teaching that we have from our older generation. I know I'm sure you've been shaped by a lot of great things that you've seen with your dad, but with some time and maybe, you know, if I get a chance to sit down at some family reunion and join you and sit down and talk to your dad, probably looking at the data and looking at what's really happening in our economy may make him realize that actually you are really ahead of the curve. And you just need to be prepared for change to happen. I just think it's going to make you feel more secure, even if you really want to stay in one singular track.
Well, I also think that if we were to teleport ourselves back into our dad's career's heyday, they would say this is a time of turbulent change. And we look back on it from 2014 and say, wow, what a different time it was. But back then, they probably were looking back at the generation before saying, boy, what a different time that was. So I think it's all relevant. You know, you talk about instability, and Pam, I have to admit, I'm ashamed to admit, and I judge people when they complain about the fact that there's just no security anymore, and they're so disheveled by all this instability, and as you said, economic instability and political instability. Isn't it fair to say that if you shift your mindset and say, look, the world is an unstable place, it's just is, it will always be, doesn't that then provide a layer of stability that you are prepared and your mind is open and can adapt to quick and rapid change? I mean, doesn't acknowledging the instability instability of our world mean that you can get some stable footing and move forward?
I do agree. I think that's the funny paradox, isn't it? It reminds me of a martial arts analogy, because I've trained martial arts for many years. And one of the things that you learn when you train and you become more familiar in practice with being able to defend yourself against an attack is you don't just walk around completely paranoid all the time that you think somebody in the grocery store is about to hit you over the head, but you do become much more aware and confident of knowing that you can protect yourself in the case of danger. And there was a really fascinating study I learned about when I took a self-defense class many years ago, and that was they filmed people coming out of a New York subway for a period of time. They put a camera in a storefront that was facing the exit to a subway where it was known to have a whole bunch of muggings, and they filmed people coming out for like 8 months, and during that course of time, many people were mugged. They had their purses or bags stolen. And then they edited the footage, mixing in people just walking out. They cut the period, you know, when they actually got mugged, but they mixed people who did get mugged with those who didn't. And they took that footage to prison and they showed it to people who were there for, you know, robbery or assault and battery and things like that. And they chose about 90% of the victims who ended up getting mugged. What that says to me is how you carry yourself. If you are aware and you know that there is instability or that maybe somebody's out to get you, that just by knowing that and being more secure in who you are, you're probably going to prevent economic catastrophe, right? I don't think it is an accident or just luck when people are able to survive multiple rounds of layoffs or they are able to really bounce back from adversity. I think it's a practice demonstration of them having core skills where they know that they need to always maintain relevance, that they always need to be creating great work. They need to have strong networks. And so when you do that preventatively, much like training self-defense and martial arts, you're going to be more secure and you're going to have better results.
Well, what a fascinating study. I think it just means you just have confidence, too. And that portrays itself to the world and they treat you differently. You know, talk about different skills, Pam. I mean, a big part of this book is teaching us all these skills to be able to adapt in an unstable world. One of the things that I find interesting and particularly relevant to my crazy life and my crazy career is this notion, this ability to blend the disparate parts of your life, your job, your freelance work, volunteer work that you do, and your passion projects, family relationships, as you said. Talk about that. I mean, it really is a skill that you have to develop. More people are doing that than maybe even realize that that's how their life is constructed. Talk about that a bit and why that's such an important thing, an activity that someone has to do in this age.
Yeah, I think often if we are just used to evaluating ourselves and communicating who we are by our profession. So if you're an engineer or a doctor or a teacher, whatever your profession is, you're going to be really just looking at your skills and strengths based on your profession. And what I really recommend in the book is to take an assessment of all of your ingredients. So that is all your strengths, your skills, your experiences from across a broad spectrum of your life. Who you are as a parent. Maybe you're an active volunteer in your church. Maybe you have had this hobby and this passionate interest in something for a long time. All of those ingredients are things that you can use in really choosing the kind of work that's going to be leveraging your strengths. And I remember in my own career when I was at Barclays Global Investors, when I was ready to make a change, I was 30, so I wasn't married or anything, and I have a huge tolerance for risk. So I knew I wanted to quit and something else would appear. But at that time, I had been a volunteer executive director concurrent to working full-time during the day in corporate life, and I had done fundraising, and I did marketing to grow a program for kids from one student to 250 students, and I had produced events and done all of these things, none of which I considered relevant at all at that time to me being able to run my own business. And the story I told myself in my head is, I've never worked for myself. I'm a liberal arts major. I have a major in international service and development. What the heck do I know about business? But I wasn't taking into consideration all of the 10 years of experience I had running an organization. And so when I did begin consulting and work for myself, it was a huge revelation that, oh my gosh, I actually do have these skills. These ingredients from other parts of my life are very relevant. And that's where I think we can feel stronger looking at every aspect of how it is that we are in the world and realize that things can cross over. We may have opportunities that we hadn't considered because of experience we have in other parts of our life. You may be an amazing parent, and the kind of quality of interaction that you have with kids, what you understand about childhood development, could be something that really helps you in some element of a career path that you want to move forward. So instead of really isolating different parts of our life, I like it where you take a huge assessment, really lay all your ingredients out on the table, and then based on where you want that next step in your career to go, you can really take the ingredients that you're ready to move to the next level. What are these specific skills, talents, and strengths you have that you can use within a different kind of work recipe, right? How could you put them together? And then very critically important is, how do you tell a story about that to somebody who you want to hire you, to a new client who you want to get, or maybe a Kickstarter campaign that you're launching for some big, exciting, creative project? You need to be able to tell a compelling story about how your experiences really do tie together to make you the perfect person for this scenario. I think that's the meta skill in the 21st century, is how we can all be really great storytellers so that we can convince people of what I think often are our capabilities for doing great things. Often we're our own worst critic. We're the ones that tell ourselves that we shouldn't try new things because we just automatically assume that nobody's going to believe it. I mean, you don't know until you try. That's one thing I know for sure after 17 years of working for myself and also watching it every day with the clients that I work with.
Well, let's dive into this notion of storytelling. I mean, the subtitle of the book is Finding the Thread That Ties Your Story Together. You know, Pam, the hardest question for me to answer, and I'm ashamed, again, I'm ashamed of this too, and with all the different parts of my life and all the different things I'm doing, different projects, a couple of different businesses, the question I fear most is, well, what do you do, Todd? Because I really struggle to answer that question. And then reading this book and gave me the forehead smack moment of, well, maybe that means your story isn't as tight as it needs to be. My worry, Pam, and as a marketer, and I sit down with a lot of organizations and a lot of people, and you dive into these conversations, and you realize that a lot of people have really two problems. One is they're not good at telling their story, one. But two, and the thing I fear most, is that a lot of people, they only don't even know what their story is, or they haven't even thought deep enough to understand what their purpose and mission in life is. I mean, is how common a problem is that? And can you shed a little light as to how someone can begin to get that framework for their life?
Well, answer is yes and yes. I agree with both, you know, both of those statements. And I know it sounds very trite, but that's actually the whole focus of my book. I mean, there really are some very specific exercises in there where you can dig in. You are not alone. And because I am a coach, I'll say, let go. No shame required, right?
Right.
We do the best with what we have, really. Sometimes you're just, if you're not aware of something, then you really wouldn't have taken the time to reflect on it because you hadn't really thought before about how important it is to really, you know, take an inventory and understand all of your life experience. We're very often not trained, if you've been in a traditional career track, to think about what is that story that I'm telling. You might just think writing a chronological resume is all that you need, and if somebody sees that, they're immediately going to get what you're about and what your skills are about. That's not the case, especially in job hunting today, where people do have a variety of experiences. We need to be relating to people in terms that they understand. So there is one piece where you do begin to really step back, ask yourself some bigger questions, go through exercises where you can look at your past experience and really categorize all the strengths and experience that you have. The other piece is where you just get very focused. I look at it very much like a series of projects, because your stories actually can be different depending upon whom you're talking to. All of us for any given year should be able to answer the question, you know, hey, Todd, what do you do? Based on what your projects are this year, with what you want to drive, that's where you want to tell a compelling story about that, right? Looking forward based on the kinds of opportunities you want. You don't need to mention all the 13 things you've done in the past, right? You need to be able to answer the question concisely and be prepared for that. But the components of your story that you bring out may be very different depending upon whom you're talking to. So in my own story, you know, I've mentioned before, some of my threads are I'm a longtime martial artist. I love that. I have a great passion for it. I'm also a mom, and a very passionate mom, and I love my kids. So if I'm in front of a group of 20-something young men, I'm probably going to be bringing out my martial arts stories, right? It wouldn't really make sense to go on and on about my kids. They'd all be rolling their eyes and looking at their phones, right? I want to use some kind of a story that they may relate to based on their own situation. if I'm talking to a group of parents, that's where you know that I'm going to be bringing in components of my own story that relate to my kids and being a parent. And so the important thing is when you are looking forward for those folks who are looking at 2014 and you're really clear as to what are your objectives and what do you want to accomplish, that's where you need to be clear to make sure the story of how you're introducing yourself is aligning with that. So in my work at Escape from Cubicle Nation, I would always tease my clients, you know, if you're at a cocktail party, let's say you have a side hustle of, designing a clothing line, but currently you're an accountant. You're not going to introduce yourself to somebody who owns a store and say, oh, hey, I'm an accountant and I sort of kind of have this side thing where I'm kind of, you know, designing these clothes. You're going to be very clear and say, it's so nice to meet you. I'm a clothing designer. That is so cool that you have a store. What kind of clothes do you carry? Right? They don't need to know that you're also an accountant. That may not be relevant. And so it's always really focusing your story, which needs to be true. It's not like you're trying to make something up or pretend to be something that you're not, but you're really focusing on connecting with the person you're talking to, specifically in relation to getting the kind of work that you want to get.
That's good stuff. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Pam, final discussion topic, this idea of, I think it's another skill that you have to develop is the ability to continually reinvent yourself. Now, you and I have some mutual friends, people like Willie Jackson, who has been so much fun to kind of watch the trajectory of his career. We have a mutual friend in Chris Brogan. I've been watching him and observing him now since, I think, like 2008. And it's been really interesting to see the path that he's taken and how he continually reinvents himself. It goes back to our earlier conversation on instability, but the ability to reinvent yourself is a necessary skill, I think, and that the world's going to continue to change. You must evolve with it, and that takes some ability. It takes some thinking. It takes some passion, some devotion. Talk about that a little bit and why that is so important, again, in today's age.
Yeah, and I may look at it slightly different. It's not, to me, so much about reinventing. It's about always creating. So always focusing on being relevant and making sure that what you're creating is personally interesting, that it's meaningful to you, that it's tied to doing things that are really related to your own body of work. So in the case of Willie, that we both know, Willie Jackson, you know, he was working as a technology consultant for a large consulting firm. He knew at that point that he really wanted to work for himself. And that was a big first step of shifting work mode so that he was working for himself. Then he knew he wanted to learn from some of the smartest people in the world. And he was hired as chief technology officer for Seth Godin's Domino Project, right? Then he knew that wasn't enough. He wanted to be actually a partner in a startup. And so that's when he began to work as a partner in a startup, you know, on the web. You look at what, in Willie's case, he's created. He's making sure that he's relevant, that he's creating interesting things, that he's surrounding himself with people who are going to teach him what it is that he wants to know. But he's never stopping to learn and grow and develop. And I think the same is true for Chris. Sometimes if we say reinvent, it makes us feel like, oh my gosh, if I'm a coach, then I need to totally become something else, where maybe that's part of your DNA. Maybe you do have a certain thread where you're always going to be really having a core focus of your work, but you need to always be creating new and interesting things, both interesting for you and things that will make you relevant to the audience that wants to hire you. In the context of what I'm really interested in is how we all maintain continual employability, right? How can we continue to make ourselves relevant? My dad at 79 years old, there's no accident why he's still being hired as a photographer, right? It's because he's never, ever let down his craft. He's never stopped learning, and he's always somebody who wakes up with an intense interest in making sure he's delivering value. And that is something to me that completely defies age or profession or anything else.
Outstanding. Well, Pam, we're about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, learn about your work, and get their hands on a copy of Body of Work?
Yes, well, you can find the book anywhere books are sold, so certainly online, Amazon or Barnes & Noble, for any bookstores that are actually still alive today. You should be able to get a copy of the book. And you can find me online at PamelaSlim.com.
Pam Slim, the author of Body of Work, Finding the Thread That Ties Your Story Together. Pam, it was a great pleasure to spend some time with you. Thanks again for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, that wraps this show. On behalf of my guest, Pamela Slim, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Radio. What you want? What you want? You've been listening to Intrepid Radio, hosted by me, Todd Schnick. You can find the show at intrepidradioshow.com. If you enjoyed the broadcast, kindly leave a rating and review on iTunes. Until next time, stay bold, and I'll see you soon on the Intrepid Radio Show.